Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team. Welcome back to the Predictable Revenue Podcast. I'm your co-host, Colin Stewart, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Aaron Ross, and an engagement manager from Octave, Kelsey Briggs. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. Excited to be here today.
Thanks. So today's going to be a little bit different. We're going deeper into the sales stack, and we're going to talk about some of the data behind some proposal best practices. And I think Kelsey's sort of uniquely positioned to have this conversation because that's one of the things that their company does a really good job of. And so what we're going to be talking about today is some of the metrics that they've pulled out of their customers, I'm assuming anonymously. We're not going to be talking about any specific customers, but looking at all of their customer base in general and in aggregate, what are some of the trends and what are some of the things and best practices that they can teach us based on this data?
Yeah, I'm excited to find out about this because proposals can be a pain in the ass.
So Kelsey, I'm curious, why should we care about trying to improve our proposals in the first place?
Yeah, I think the short answer is that there's probably some efficiencies just about everybody who's listening could maybe find in their own proposal process when they're thinking of that about their own sales content. And there's maybe even a competitive advantage that they could start to find in thinking about the way they can be the most efficient sellers. So I've got some initial data here that kind of helps back up why we should care about proposals and what we're putting out there for our prospects. And the first one's really about time, that the turnaround time of a proposal matters. We found out that the average seller takes about 3 days to put together a proposal, but the most efficient sellers are able to do that in less than a day. And that metric's really pretty meaningful, we think, because InsideSales.com gave us this stat that 35 to 50% of sales goes to the vendor that responds first. So we know that response time can actually be really important in helping make a good impression and provide that at really a timely point, but can also be influential in the decision of the vendor that that a prospect's going to choose.
Yep, and like everything else, it must be taken with a grain of salt because that would be most true for transactional sales, but for, you know, get to more services or complex enterprise, that's going to be less true. But yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. And proposals can be a big time suck at any level.
Yep. And so really, when we think about the sales cycle and once you provide a proposal, thinking about what could be possible for your organization. So in some of the numbers that we've crunched, we found that average sellers, after they deliver that proposal, are able to close that business in an average of 14 days. But some of the most efficient people are closing that proposal in just 2 days. And we took that a little bit further to kind of break that down by average deal size to see if there's some more interesting things we can, do you say nice, Colin?
Yeah.
It's interesting. So we looked at, in this initial batch here, average deal size less than $10,000, 10 to 50, and then greater than $50,000. Mm-hmm. And so not surprisingly, I think, as the deal size goes up, so does the average time to close. So for that less than $10,000 deal, average time to close after you deliver a proposal is 11 days. As you move to that 10 to 50 band, it goes up to 19 days to close on average. And then greater than 50, we saw that on average 30 days to close. And what I thought was actually the most interesting is if you look at the top performers in each of those three bands, they're still the most efficient sellers are still able to close those deals in 2 days. So there's certainly a finesse to delivering a proposal at the right time that your prospect's ready for it. But thinking about your own sales process and what's possible and finding some ways that you can shorten that sales cycle and make sure that you've really put in front of them something that's able to convert for you, hopefully quickly.
So in each of those bands, you're seeing even the $50,000 plus, you're still seeing sellers close them in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Impressive.
Yeah. Well, it is interesting. I do know sometimes people can use proposals as more of an evaluation document in the early stages. Mm-hmm. And, or sometimes you use it just in more like a closing document. So it's sort of, you know, I just want to be careful about rushing to judgment, but it's interesting. It really comes down to how do you want to use proposals and what steps, right? Being thoughtful about your whole process and how to help your customers make the best decision.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's exactly right. Certainly something to consider is really what's the outcome or the goal of delivering that proposal, and maybe what's the call to action you're really hoping somebody will take. If you're including terms and conditions and a way for them to electronically sign that document and make that legally binding, is that a way for you to actually close business? Or is that more of an initial document that you're providing, and the next step would be to move to maybe a contracting phase? So all things to consider, absolutely.
Yeah, because just one bit about, so when we are doing coaching and training projects, right, because we do outsource prospecting projects for companies, but we also do more hands-on coaching. And in that case, it's a bit different. We tend to use the proposal as the call to action is, here's this proposal with details. Let's get an executive, a next executive call to get to finalize it. So that first call to action isn't to sign it. Mm-hmm. After there's buy-in and all the details worked out, it's like, okay, there's no gotchas. Then it would switch to a call. So like a two-step. And sometimes we use it at the very beginning just to help educate people on the things we do. So that's more on the coaching side, where there's more variability. There's more there's more education to understand and more of a fit. It's our outsourcing side with our Accelerate program is a little more transactional. But it's just good. It's a good thought-provoking. It's like it really... It's like, makes me think about it, and how would we do it differently? So yeah,
I think back to all the time that I've spent, you know, working on proposals, not just here at PR, but you know, even before, and just creating new templates and PDFs and things like that. I wonder if you have any data on, you know, hey, I put in hours worth of work here. Hopefully not hours now, but I definitely feel like I've spent a significant portion of my life putting together these proposals that nobody looks at. Do you have any data on the flip side of like on the average amount of time that people spend?
Yeah. Let's see. So average time spent reviewing sales content from our data is actually just an average of 2 minutes. Just over 2 minutes, 2 minutes, 15 seconds. So making an impression quickly is going to be really important. Mm-hmm. And I think that's especially important. Sears Decision had a stat that 75% of business-to-business buyers said that that content was extremely influential in their selection of one vendor over another. So kind of catch 22. We know that content's really important to people who are making decisions, but they also don't spend a ton of time looking at it. So how do we not only get it in front of them quickly, but also make an impact really quickly with the content, the right content that we're providing at the right time?
Yeah. Well, that may not be in conflict, because when you're talking about like the kinds of serious decision, you know, more higher end sales, a lot of times the content is used by an internal champion, and they sort of pull what they need to show like a very short convincing, you know, selling points to their team. So they might spend more time on one person to get a snapshot for other people to get them on board.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So I don't, you know, who knows, but that would make sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. So with all of this, you know, people using our sales content, our proposals for a variety of different purposes, I'm wondering what if you have some best practices for what we can include to make sure that we're sort of, you know, hitting on all of the pieces that we need to include.
Yeah, we typically see that there's about six sections in a proposal. And the first one is typically a cover letter. And our data actually shows us that this is the page of content that gets the most view time. For one of our customers, just as an example, people spend almost 10 times the amount of time reading the cover letter that they put together than any other specific page in the document.
Do you actually gauge that with your app, or is that through other ways you've measured it?
Yeah, we're able to view track time on specific pages to see where people are spending their time, and can help with some relevant follow up, but also help understand where people are spending their time. So if I was going to give some advice of things to put on this cover page, my first piece of advice would be you could sort of think of this cover page or the first page of a proposal as something that's above the fold, and so don't skimp on it. Spend some time customizing this, coming up with a message that you really want to give to your prospect or have them take away from the proposal you've put together. When you're able to, helping them see that you clearly understand the problem they've got or the solution that you're able to uniquely provide them. And then making sure that you've got a space there. I sometimes recommend this in bullet point form so it's easy to consume, but a way for you to offer some solutions and benefits that they can expect to receive. So maybe expected ROI or a quick hit customer success stat that you're putting in there, or maybe a summary of some value that you can provide. And then this is where I recommend that people are detailing that call to action. And reminding them what we'd like them to do as a next step. So maybe that's move to a formal contract or sign up now, click to register. We do have a lot of customers in the processes, the sales processes I've been a part of that are putting a really basic capability on their proposals to accept that proposal and move forward with an electronic signature. And then a last piece, typically as a best practice, we don't recommend putting price on the cover page unless it's really a competitive advantage for you. So that'd be the first section. And I went into a little bit more detail there because we know that typically that's the page that people spend the most time on. And there's probably an opportunity there for a lot of customization that could be really meaningful to the specific prospects that you're working with. And that can, again, be really valuable because we know that multiple people are typically involved in buying decisions. And so that document's going to be shared and can be really helpful in educating other people who haven't been a part of every step of that process and catching them up to speed on some of the understanding and value that you can bring to bear. A few other pages, other sections and proposals.
Kelsey, do you have that a cheat sheet that lists these out?
Yeah. Let's turn that on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It will
take a look.
We'll link to this in the show notes just in case anybody's driving. We don't want you taking notes while driving. It's probably not safe. Or rollerblading. If you're rollerblading and listening to the podcast, absolutely not a good idea.
Great. You guys able to see that now?
Yep.
Fantastic. So here's the six sections. I just talked a little bit about the cover letter. The next few sections are really helping bring some details to the proposal. So the next section you typically see is really why your company, taking the chance to educate that prospect on why you can uniquely provide a solution for them, why you're positioned, you're uniquely positioned or differentiated in the market to do that. And that can be a good place to bring some ROI results into the proposal. Customer testimonials or success stories or case studies, whatever you might call those, are another area where people are spending a lot of time. So if you feel like that's maybe an area where your company doesn't have some content or great content that you love sharing, that can maybe be something you're prioritizing with the marketing team as a quick win. These can be really great places to help show your credibility and the results that you've helped achieve for other customers. Pricing.
I don't think we're doing this now. I'm like a little red light in my head just went off. It's like, we know the power of case studies. Why have we not thought to include them in the, you know, in the proposal? I know we've got links in there, but you're recommending, you know, just like you would have on, if you look at anybody's like lead web capture form, right? They've got case study, you know, customer picture testimonial right there when they're making that decision to give you their email address and phone number. So why wouldn't you want to carry that experience through to the proposal?
Yeah, a really simple outline for that, if you're interested in setting that up, might be to outline your customer's problem, your solution to that, and then the outcome or the results that you helped them achieve. So it doesn't have to be a large piece of content if you wanted to get started providing some of that. And another way we've seen people really successfully highlighting some of their credibility is actually providing maybe a link out to a site. G2 Crowd is an example of a place that, where people go to review SaaS software. So don't take our word for it. Go read about what the market's saying, or hear some blurbs from customers who have loved their experience working with us.
Yeah. We're sort of halfway through these topics. Do you sort of see, is this like a, you know, page, there's a certain length, pages, is it all over the map? I know with online documents, pages aren't quite as meaningful, but you know, how mean, if you were going to print these out as a gauge, is it maybe like each of these topics could be like a page or all depends?
Yeah, you're right. It really can depend based on the company. If I go back to that stat that oftentimes people are spending just an average of 2 minutes viewing that document, usually the shorter the better, or at least kind of putting it through the filter of, is this the most important information we should be including? I'd say typically content like this, if we were putting something together, it might be 5 pages long if you were to think of sort of a traditional, you know, PDF document you might print out. Yeah. Next section is probably an area that could really kind of vastly vary the length of that document, and that's the pricing proposal details. Mm-hmm. Best advice I can give you there is to make this really straightforward and uncomplicated for the person who's reviewing it. Help them understand what it is that you're proposing in the proposal document. This might be an area where you could consider highlighting some alternative packages or maybe some add-ons for those buyers if they enjoy kind of comparing their options or seeing what they might be able to swap in or out or put on top of that package to further get more value out of that. And then if you've got scope or deliverable of timelines, just considering all of those pieces that really need to be put in writing and in front of a customer, this would be a place to make sure that those details are really rounded out for the proposal you'd like to deliver. And that's going to vary from the stage of the opportunity that you're in and the deal that you're working in, and ultimately probably the service or product that you're providing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, this reminds me too, there's a phrase I heard a ways back. Right, because you can put too much content in a proposal, it just overwhelms people, and they can't find what's useful. But there's no long copy, just boring copy. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, it's not about putting more information. It's really making sure that it's useful and meaningful and
absolutely
information and organized.
Absolutely.
So what comes next? We've got, the cover letter to really set it up. We're talking about, why us. We've got some beautiful testimonials. We followed up with, what's included and the pricing. Help us close it out here. What are the last couple items?
Yeah. Oftentimes we are seeing people make these documents actionable, a way for them to close business. So they're including a call to action that might be a way to move that deal forward. And maybe that's an electronic signature, mm-hmm, or a place for someone to sign. If that's the case, they're making sure to include their most recent legally approved terms and conditions so that somebody is able to accept and move forward with that deal.
Right. So the way, if I interpret this, what it sounds like is, and by this list of sections is great. And if you can't see it, obviously we can link, it's just a summary document, but some of the people are just going to go look at the cover page because it's probably first, and you want to summarize the important points there in case they don't read further.
Absolutely.
And I do like the point to say, don't put the price in unless it's an advantage. And because why that is if they see a price without being sort of bought into the value, then they may be too quick to say, too expensive. Because a proposal, at least for a lot of these, when there's multiple people, there's one person who really, or two that work with you, get the proposal set, and they might share it with some other people who just look at it briefly. Mm-hmm. So it's a little tricky, I think, serving these different people, but that's how I would sort of, a takeaway from this, which again, we don't do it that way. So I'm learning. I like some of these tips that were, mm-hmm, it makes sense.
One of my mentors here, sales mentors, taught me that when you're something similar, but it was about delivering price over the phone or in person, is that when you start with the price and then you list what's included, it anchors the price in their head, and then you're stuck justifying. And then they're thinking, how do I justify that afterwards? Whereas when you start with the value and then you put the price at the end, you build up the value, you build value, build value, build value, and all of this for that one price or three easy payments of, mm-hmm, and it's just, we try and sort of
$19.99.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, that piece alone, in my personal selling experience, made me such a much better closer and made those conversations go a lot easier. And I love that you're just bringing that piece of knowledge into the proposals.
Yeah, absolutely. And you see, it's not, certainly not the leading page, even after the cover page. There's certainly lots of opportunity to show that value before you present that number. This is, I'm pointing to the visual, some folks can't see, but this is a typical layout that we would see for a proposal in terms of order of pages too.
Gotcha. And last piece is closing action, click to sign.
Yeah, I'm a big proponent of electronic signatures because it can really make things faster and a lot easier for both the sales rep and the person who's signing that document. So electronic signatures, certainly a growing industry and a place where a lot of people are closing
business. Lord for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the couple of industries that still require you to hard copy sign things. And I feel bad for people that sell in that industry.
Well, I mean, even I'm just glad we can even use it for legal documents because, you know, we're updating whether it's our own, even our internal articles of incorporation or customers. Oh, yeah, it's one of these, like in, with proposals, even if you can cut down the time invested, it's such a huge value with signatures. It just makes things so much easier with the busy world with lots of, you know, pieces and things, steps that can go wrong or get delayed or the fax number isn't working or paper or whatever else can go wrong.
Right. I love electronic signatures, especially when multiple signers are involved. It takes care of routing that to the right person. And there's even some really great things you can do on the back end to automatically update your system when those signatures come in so that you move it to the next phase of the process automatically without, you know, even requiring a rep to upload that document somewhere.
Cool. So we've got these six steps here. We've now invested, you know, all this time in making sure that we're crafting the perfect proposal and people are only going to read it for 2 minutes. I'm wondering, there's got to be the perfect day to send a proposal on.
Actually, I think there's been a lot of talk about that. Everybody, I think, wants to know when they can send something so that it will be the most valuable. We've found that there's not a single best weekday to send a proposal. Prospects are engaging with content just about evenly throughout the week and accepting documents evenly throughout the week. When we're talking about weekdays, what we did find is interesting is that just because it's after hours or the weekend doesn't mean that your prospect's not going to maybe be working or taking a look at some of those documents. So that engagement into the evening hours during the week and also on the weekends was something that surprised us. So just know that that content is being consumed. And what we actually found was really interesting is that oftentimes those after hours or maybe weekend interactions are happening on a mobile phone and instead of a desktop, which is another growing trend that we've seen. About 80% of proposals that you send, somebody will open on a desktop computer, maybe about 20% on a mobile device or a tablet, but we're seeing that trending up. So considering the way that you've even built this document and the experience that someone has when they receive it and they're viewing that on a mobile device. Maybe not something folks have considered in the past.
Yeah, so like cover letters especially because, you know, again, lots of times you're going to have some VP or director of X who's going to get the proposal set, send it to the CEO who might, you know, look at it on their phone. And so, yeah, actually, I hadn't thought about that. It's a good, testing it, how it looks on a phone. Some of those like duh moments that you just need to be reminded of.
Especially if you're sending old school PDFs that you got to thumb around on and double click in and just it's not going to work for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've seen that be an aha moment for a number of the customers we work with, especially in the technology space or people who are really brand conscious and making sure that the experience that they're providing to their customers really helps just be an extension of their brand, and knowing where your customers are when they're interacting with it just means that you can provide them a better experience.
So by the way, I'm just going to read out briefly the six quick list, right? So the six sections for the audio people. First, cover letter. Second, a section on why your company. The third was some customer testimonials. Fourth, pricing and proposal details or scope. The fifth could be terms and conditions. And the sixth section was a call to action.
Cool. So just out of curiosity, and one last question for you, Kelsey. We spent all this time working on the proposal, trying to get it to deliver to the customers on the, I guess there is no right day. So you blew me out of the water there, but you know, delivering it quickly with all the right content.
Yes. I would just say the best day to send a proposal is probably when your prospect is ready for it.
Yeah.
And usually the sooner the better. So that would be my answer there.
That's fair. Oh, got a little crackling in the line here.
Ouch.
Looks like we talking with your hands, you lost your headphones there, hey?
Sorry about that.
No problem. So we've made this huge investment in crafting the perfect proposal. What are some common mistakes that you see sales teams making?
If I even take a step back, probably the first mistake is that people don't have an established process and maybe some consistency for their team. So some things you could maybe look at are, what template do my sales reps use when creating a document? Where does that live? Is it 69 copies on every rep's desktop, and it maybe has old terms and conditions or my old logo and branding, and half of them have errors because there's old terms or maybe some manual typos that get passed along. So those would be some red flags to me that there's an opportunity to at least review the process that you've put in place. I'd be a big proponent for bringing it back to one template when possible, kind of a master copy so that people are using the latest messaging and branding and imagery when they go to create that document.
You don't like my December 2016 proposal, copy, 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 copy.
Mm-hmm. We see that happening a lot. So, and really what that can impact is the customer's experience can be a little disjointed from maybe some of the other interactions they've had with you, the experience on your website. So old messaging and even old logos or old brand names being a part of a proposal is actually sometimes really surprising for maybe somebody in sales operations to even realize is happening behind the scenes.
So that would be easier. One key.
Yeah, sometimes it can be. Probably some efficiencies in examining that sales process and finding some ways to bring some consistency to that. And I think another common mistake we see is that there's not a great, for some companies, not a great way to find the content you need at the right time. So maybe that's the answer is, I'm just going to copy it or copy and paste it from, you know, the proposal I used 6 months ago, because that's what I need to use. We have another stat out there that it can take 1 to 5 days for a sales rep to find ROI related collateral. And when we know response time matters, and that content helps win deals, just not having what you need when you need it is harboring the document that you're putting together. So thinking about a way to kind of bring together a library, sort of curate some of the best content that your reps have, can be another opportunity for some quick wins.
Yeah, 1 to 5 days, that's an extra 1 to 5 days sitting on top of your sales cycle. It's 1 to 5 days of your rep, or not a full 5 days, but of your account exec doing something that is probably not their specialty.
Yeah, it's like busy work usually, trying to dig up and find stuff. It's just wasted time.
Yeah, the stat we use a lot is actually that only about a third of a salesperson's time is actually spent selling. And half of that unused sales time spent on non-selling activity is actually spent creating content or trying to find the right content. That's a lot of time in somebody's day that if we can make them more efficient, we give them a chance to manage more business, to close more deals, to actually be having meaningful sales conversations with their prospects.
Great. And did you say you had one last piece?
Yeah, the final thought would be, final mistake maybe that I see folks making is that they are not revisiting the process that they've put in place. I usually suggest that people do this quarterly at least, and that they actually take time to consider asking sales reps what they need to be successful at their jobs. I offered a couple ideas of where you could start with some case studies or by, you know, consolidating templates and assets. But don't just put that in place now to let it go stale in 6 months. So come back, revisit that, and reiterate your process and your content so that is really providing the best experience possible when you're delivering a proposal document that's really consistent messaging, brand, and experience throughout your whole sales process.
Perfect. And if we nail all these, you said you can promise us a 90% success rate on our proposals, right?
Oh, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I heard somebody say that. Wasn't that you?
Yeah.
Kelsey, thank you so much for coming on the show. This is the data has been super useful. I know I'm going to go back and change a couple things in our proposal writing tool.
Yeah.
Because it's just sort of opened my eyes to a couple of things that we're not doing right that I think will be some really quick wins that can have a potentially really large impact.
Fantastic. Happy to share, and thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks very much, Kelsey. That was great.
Yeah. One last thing for all you listeners and viewers before you go, do us a huge favor to help us expand and grow the audience and find more great guests like Kelsey. If you're on iTunes, just go hit that subscribe button. If you feel it's warranted, a 5-star rating would be really helpful for us to grow our audience. Same with YouTube. If you're watching along for the visuals, hit that subscribe button. Just helps us expand the audience and get more great guests on the show. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Yep. Thanks, everybody.